It's the 4th of April, and we're going to be finishing up financial ratios. We'll run through them fairly quickly because some of you were like, this is easy, but I understand it. Okay, fine, let's go through them. And then we'll discuss who can beat the market. We'll start some silliness today. But don't worry, the big silliness happens on third Tuesday. And we'll discuss the S&P 500 boogeyman. But we are going to remind you that exam number 3 will be next Tuesday. I'm sorry, next Thursday. Next Thursday, 1 week from today. It will include the materials from 17, 8, 7, and 8. Well, all you got to be able to do is find two numbers and divide them. Okay, that's chapter 17. Understand the financial statements. 7 and 8 will discuss some of the silliness starting today and then serious silliness on Thursday. But there's not a whole lot to test you on. The big things is we're going to review chapters 5 and 6. So go back and review chapter 5. If you got on the Scantron portion 40 or above, you know the information from chapter 5. If you got the 20s or even at the low 30s, you need to do a whole lot more studying. And then we'll do the constant perpetual growth model and the discounted cash flow model. And before next Thursday, we'll do at least another example of each, because you can't leave Business 123 without knowing how to do these. Do you understand? It's bad for my self-esteem. You have to be able to know these. And this is just the beginning. These are just the beginning. There's dozens of others, but they're all variations on the same thing. In other words, what do we believe the future of the company is going to be? Where we'll take a look at these guys in 7 and 8, especially in 8, and we'll show the whole other way of looking at stocks called technical analysis, which is terrible. Oh, Alex here, and Kathleen here. Okay. Can I pass this over to Alex, please? All right. And all right, so let's get started. But first, we need a good joke. Kathleen, you have a good joke? No? Okay, good. I get to tell you a good joke. Did we start the battle of the sexist jokes? We did, right? Okay. Did I tell you about the woman assassin? No. You see, the CIA wanted to hire an assassin, right, a killer. So they put an ad in the paper, and they got thousands of people wanting to kill people. But they whittled them down to 4 hardened killers. 3 guys and a gal. 3 men and 1 woman. And as a test of their steeliness, the last test, they gave each of them a gun and put them in front of a door and said, in that room is your spouse. We want you to go in there and kill them. And the men said, I can't do this. I'm not going to kill my wife. And the woman, calmly opens the door, walks inside, and you hear bang, 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 bang. And then you hear somebody screaming, and silence. And she comes out, she's covered in blood. She says, some idiot put blanks in the gun. So I beat him to death. So remember that, guys. Right? You think the women are weaker than the men, right? No, no, no. And they're getting stronger, and they're getting smarter, too. It's about time. Anyway, so let's take a look at how we're doing. You didn't like that one, did you? You haven't been married long enough. That's the problem. Okay, tell me you haven't been married at all. Remember, in the 121 class, we teach the most important financial decision you'll ever make. Anybody remember?
Who you marry.
Who you marry, right? Who you marry. And so how you guys, look at that, 12%. What a great class. What recession, right? What recession. How are we doing? No, they didn't marijuana stuff. I'm telling you, you want to invest in marijuana? Buy Philip Morris. Buy British American Tobacco. Buy the tobacco companies, because once marijuana becomes legal, they're just going to walk in and just say, "Hi, we're the Budweiser of the cores of the marijuana world." Anybody sell anything? Want to sell anything? Oh, there was something in the news. I didn't read the whole thing, but PG&E made some kind of deal. Anybody see that this morning? It's in the news. So it was down to about 5,000. It jumped back up. Who else? Boeing is in the news. Baba, but Yahoo's company that owns their Alibaba stock is going to sell it. They're going to sell it. I guess Yahoo's going to. Well, I guess Verizon's going to get the money and sell all the stock in Alibaba. So that might knock it down a little bit, but not a whole lot. Because Yahoo was a big owner of Alibaba when it started off, and then they they actually spun off a subsidy or something like that. Anybody follow it? Who was the person who pushed Baba? Alibaba. Anybody? Don't remember who it was? Remember, you're not buying Alibaba, right? You understand that. You're not buying the Chinese company. You're buying a company based on something in the Barbados or Bermuda or someplace. One of those places starts with the letter B. And they have a claim on any future dividends that Alibaba produces. And a Chinese judge could say, sorry, that contract is null and void in China. So we'll see what happens with that. All right, let's get back to chapter 17. We just started chapter 17 discussing the different types of financial statements, and we had gone through most of them, the most important ones, and we're now at the liquidity ratios. We went through the current ratio and the acid test. And the current ratio, so we're going to finish up these ratios. You need the handout. Make sure you got the handout and have the formula sheet, page 2, and then be able to jump between pages 3 and 4 pages 3 and 4, the balance sheet and the income statement. And so we did both the current ratio for Ford and the acid test ratio, which are ratios. Now here's the outlier of all the ratios we're looking at. This isn't a ratio. This is called net working capital. And it's actually the current ratio in dollar terms. If you go back to the current ratio, you made a ratio. You had current assets divided by current liabilities, right? That's a ratio, division. However, the net working capital shows it in dollar terms. You take current assets minus current liabilities, and so that's telling you how much money above and beyond their liabilities do they have in current assets. Of course, if this is greater than this, it's going to be a positive number. If the liabilities are bigger than the current assets, it's going to be a negative number. And so it's not as popular, and it's really not a ratio, but sometimes you'll see people talk about it in terms of current assets. The current ratio, and they'll say, well, what's the net working capital? In other words, how much dollars do they have above and beyond their liabilities? Okay, so now the activity ratios. The activity ratios are financial ratios that are used to measure how well a firm is managing their assets. So we find out how often they turn over their accounts receivable, their inventory, their total assets. And we use the balance sheet and the income statement. Activity ratios measure a firm's ability to convert different accounts within the balance sheets into cash or sales. And companies obviously are going to try to turn their production into cash or sales as fast as possible because you want to sell your stuff. That's how you make your money. So the accounts receivable. Now, what you account? Any accounting person? Who's the accountant? Remind us, what are accounts receivable? Money to other people, money coming in the door, hopefully. You've sold the product, business to business usually, and not so much with consumers, business to business, and now the money's going to come in net 30 days, they call it net 60 days. The higher the number, the better. It indicates the return a company is getting from its investment in accounts receivable. Now, accounts receivable is something that businesses do to one another, but it's really not something you'd rather do. I mean, you'd rather have the cash right away, but that's just something that businesses do. By maintaining accounts receivable, firms are indirectly extending interest-free loans to their clients. So a high ratio implies that the company operates either on a cash basis, they don't really do accounts receivable, or it's extension of credit or in collection of accounts receivable is efficient. People pay them quickly. A low ratio implies that the company is not really getting the money they deserve. It's credit policy in order to ensure the timely collection of imparted credit, not earning interest. Or, as we said, in the case of defense industry, that's just the way it works. You build an aircraft carrier for Uncle Sam, he's going to pay you. But he just takes his good old sweet time to pay you. So your accounts receivable turnover is going to be horrible. But don't worry, you're going to make a whole lot more money than most other people in this world. Okay, so let's go take a look at do you remember the total revenue? Do you remember what that was for Ford? Total revenue? Is that the income statement? Yeah, what's the total revenue?
Tough question.
163.40 divided by accounts receivable. Accounts receivable is on the balance sheet, so we run over to the balance sheet. And oops, wrong way. We're on the balance sheet. What's accounts receivable? 65,810.
So where is this money coming from?
The dealerships. Because when you buy a Ford, you don't actually buy it from Ford Motor Corporation. You buy it from the dealerships. So the dealerships are you know, bringing this cash in. This is one of the things that Tesla wants to get away from. The company is trying to not have dealerships. And some states are saying, well, you have to have a dealership. Totally. I mean, I can't believe they can get away with this for decades. But normally that's not allowed. You can't just say you can only buy it from a certain place. So we'll see what that happens. They have been successful in many states, but not like Texas. They can't sell their cars in Texas because of that. So what's their accounts receivable turnover?
2.44.
Yeah, that's not too exciting, not too great. But if we compared them to other car companies, we'd probably see, typical of accounts receivable. Now here's a turnover ratio that's important. It's important in every industry, but it's really important in companies that sell products that tend to depreciate or become obsolete or rot or whatever, and that's the inventory turnover, which is basically the same idea, total revenue divided by the inventory. So again, we have that same top line number. And what is Ford's inventory? That's on the balance sheet. 1122 or 11220, right? 220. So, that's a much better number now. How often does Ford turn over their inventory? You got your calculators? You told me you were going to do these over the 2 days. I thought you'd have them already done. I didn't bring my cheat sheet. Like a
23, 24.
That seems a little too high. Let's try it again. 160,340 should be like 14 or so. 14.29. In other words, what does that mean? That means about 14 times a year, a little over 14 times a year, or about every 3 weeks or so, Ford turns over their inventory. You see that? They go through their inventory about 14 times a year. They hold on to these things for about between three and four weeks. You walk into a grocery store and you see everything on the shelves and you think, well, it's always there, isn't it? No. There's people coming around, especially the milk and the cereal and the baby formulas and stuff like that. They go through these, they turn over the inventory very quickly at a grocery store. People will say things like, oh, you know, they only make a few pennies off of that gallon of milk they sell. Don't you feel sorry for them? No, because they sell one every day, right? if you sell them every day over and over and over again, you're going to, it's volume, yeah. So the higher the number, the less time an item spends in inventory, and the better return the company is able to earn from funds tied up in inventory. As with all the ratios, again, we must look at their competitors. A low turnover implies poor sales and therefore excess inventory. Do you want inventory sitting around? No, you know, you're not making any money off of it. But at the same time, if you don't have any inventory, will people come in the door? No, that's why we talked about that on Thursday, right? Car companies. The dealership wants to have a lot of cars to get people excited, but they don't want to have a lot of cars because they're sitting on the lot and they're not making them any money. So a high ratio implies either strong sales or they're not doing a good job of keeping inventory on the floors. High inventories are unhealthy because they represent an investment and a rate of return of zero. And what happens if the inventory becomes obsolete or rots or whatever becomes unsellable? And then the last one is the total asset turnover, which take the same top line number, total revenue, and divides it by the total assets. So what are the total revenue? Is that same top line number? And the total assets is like 256 or what was it? Let's go run on over to the balance sheet. 256,540. Which doesn't look too exciting. But again, we need to go look at their competitors. So that's total assets turnover. Is this tough? Is this stuff tough? Are these things difficult? No, they're not. I don't think they are. But they're just more information. They're more, we create a stew of information. All right. Now, the leverage ratios, these were the ones, especially the times interest earned, that Mr. Benjamin Graham really keyed on. Also called solvency. Leverage is a fancy word for debt. Financial ratios that are used to measure the amount of debt being used to support operations and the ability of the firm to service its debt. So we have the debt-to-equity ratio, the times interest earns, total debt to total assets. They use data from the balance sheet or the income statement or both. And as we said, debt is referred to as leverage. The idea is you're using other people's money to make money. You are using the borrowed money as a lever to increase your earnings. When one firm buys another firm using borrowed money, we refer to that as a leveraged buyout. So one company wants to buy another company. They don't have the cash, so they could borrow that money. But that's a leveraged buyout because they have to pay back that debt. So you want to do just one of these? Let's just do one. Let's do the this one. This one should look familiar from Business 121. You take your debt and divide it by your equity, debt to equity ratio. Okay, so we won't do that one. Higher debt to equity ratio generally means that a company has been aggressive in financing its growth. This can result in lower earnings because you got to pay that interest, and the interest is tax deductible. Sometimes investors only use interest-bearing long-term debt. In my humble opinion, the lower the better. But other people are a little bit more aggressive, or maybe more aggressive, and they'll say, no, you want to have a lot of debt? Use other people's money to make your money? What happens if you go into bankruptcy? Oh, well. So you got that tension, that dual-edged sword. So let's not do that, but let's do this one, because this one's actually pretty cool, and this is the one I told you that Mr. Benjamin Graham was very interested in. How often do you earn your interest? Times interest earned. You take EBIT, earnings before taxes and interest. Is that what it is? Earnings before tax, EBITDA. Earnings before taxes, interest, whatever. Write it out. Earnings before taxes, interest and taxes. But sometimes you'll say EBIT, earnings before interest and taxes, divided by your interest expense. So what are we doing here? What are we looking at? What we're looking at is how often, how many times a year do you earn your interest? In other words, are you going to be able to make your debt payments? Because if you can't make your debt payments, you're going to wind up in bankruptcy. So we go to the income statement. What were the earnings before interest and taxes? Tough question. What were the earnings? Kathleen and Carlos. Everybody else is going, 5590. And well, how much did they pay last year in interest? 1240. So do that calculation. 5590, 1240. So in other words, about every 3 months, a little over every 3 months, Ford is able to earn their interest. Is Ford in danger of being pulled into bankruptcy court? No, they're doing okay. And so they're not going to go into bankruptcy anytime soon. I don't care what anybody says. But they do have tough times going through, no doubt, through recessions. Okay, and then the total debt, the total assets is like the debt to equity. We take the total amount of debt and divide it by the total assets. includes both short-term and long-term debt. If it varies substantially from that debt-to-equity ratio in the two slides before, the company may be relying heavily on short-term debt. Think of it like this. You have this huge entity, or maybe it's not that huge, and you're using credit cards to fund your sources, to fund your way around short-term debt. That can denote a serious issue, but of course, up to you about how you feel about debt. And that was chapter 17. Now, we ran through those really quickly. I apologize. But do you think you can pull that off? Piece of cake? Your assignment is to choose, I gave you five different companies, but if you do choose a different company, what you do, two, you do two. If you do choose a different company than the five that I gave you, what did I give you? Like Qualcomm, Cisco, because there's two different Ciscos, and they're two very different companies. Disney and Merck. Merch. Typo. How many typos do you see in my stuff, huh? Not too many, right? There's one right there. Merch. Merck. It's called Merck. But if you want to use different companies, if you want to do, I said you to do at least two, right? Oh, I'm sorry. You didn't get a copy? Okay. If you want to do a different company than these three or four to five, make sure they're a big company. Don't use a real small company. I mean, if you really want to, go ahead. That's the company you're interested in. But rather you do large cap companies. Cool? Piece of cake? Yes, sir. Yes, I do. You just got to ask questions in this world if you want to get ahead. So do two or three of those. And hope you do it. I ask you to do at least 12. All right? I ask you to do at least 12 of the... Oh, you need one too. Okay. At least 12 of these ratios. But do at least two from each category. Don't just do the first six or seven because those you can look up. We want you to do at least a few of the calculations. So do at least two from common stock, profitability, liquidity, activity, and leverage ratios. All right, so let's get over that because you guys are kind of bored with that. I don't blame you. It's a little boring, but it's not that boring. It's kind of interesting because it creates that, it just rounds out our numerical analysis. Because we have done the heavy lifting, dear students. It's time.